You're listening to the Sunday Session Podcast with Francesca Rutkin from Newstalk ZB.
Pauline Parker and Juliet Hume are two of New Zealand's most infamous murderers. Back in June 1954, the girls, aged just 16 and 15, undertook an extremely violent murder of Pauline's mother. The interest in the case inspired Peter Jackson's film, Heavenly Creatures, and now nearing the 70th anniversary, Juliet's brother, Jonathan Hume, has finally spoken out. A Moment in Crime host and senior New Zealand Herald journalist, Anna Lesk, is with me now. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
First of all, congratulations on the podcast. It's fabulous. I started listening to it last night when I went for a walk, not knowing that it was quite as long as it was, Anna, and it was ended up being a very long walk, but amazing work. Hey, how has this come about? Why has Jonathan spoken out after all this time?
Well, look, Juliet died last year and for a long time he'd wanted to sort of share what he felt was her real story, and he didn't feel he could do that while she was still alive. He just wanted to sort of keep on side and keep everything sort of sweet with her. And then after she died, he just had this growing compulsion to speak out and let people know what she was really like, what her life was really like. He just wanted people to have a better understanding of her. He had a thought that he would like to sort of retrospectively get the conviction changed due to his beliefs that her mental health was never stable. But when you listen to the podcast, you'll see why that sort of won't be happening. But I just think, in general, he wanted people to finally know what his sister was really like.
How did Jonathan describe his sister? He called her a narcissist.
Yeah, he said that narcissistic, and she had a very sort of fragile grasp on reality. She had the sort of way of thinking about things that was not very realistic. When she talked about the murder, for example, it was all, she was the victim and she was just helping Pauline and she was frightened, but he said she never really understood what had actually happened, never really sort of understood that the gravity and the consequences of their actions back then. He just said that she was this really imaginative, creative person and didn't really have that grasp on reality that most people do.
She liked to control the narrative, didn't she, around the story? Like, she wouldn't actually talk about the murder itself, but she would talk about her time in prison?
Yeah, she very rarely spoke publicly about the murder. And he said that when she did, the interviews were very controlled. And, if you stepped outside that narrative, you risked being sort of kicked out. So he sort of referenced a documentary, and there was a book done about her, and he said it was all very, to her sort of agenda, if you like, and anyone that stepped outside of that, look out, basically. So he appeared in the documentary, and he said he felt a bit silly afterwards that he just sort of sat there and nodded and carried on, but, you know, to speak out against her wouldn't have been beneficial for him. He was working for her at the time, and, at the end of the day, it was his sister, and he did want to sort of keep a good relationship with her.
What did he share about the nature of Juliet and Pauline's friendship?
Well, he was 10 when this happened. So he said that he remembered Pauline, remembered her being around, and that she didn't really interact with him much. That he felt his sister was sort of had this fear of being rejected and was easily led. And he felt that that relationship with Pauline was one of those things, like Pauline could have got her sisters to do anything for her just because of that fear of rejection and her willingness to go along with what dominant people in her life wanted.
What impact did the murder have on him, Juliet, and their family?
Yeah, well, Jonathan's father took him out of New Zealand before the trial happened, so he wasn't exposed to that. He knew what had happened. He knew his sister had been charged, but he was just 10 and he was taken back to the UK, went through school and didn't, his father kept him, in the loop, but he didn't hear much about it all from Juliet till she got out of prison. And he said that when she got out, they all had to get to know her again and reconnect. He said he's always loved her and the family always loved her, but it did a lot of damage to them. He said he was angry over the years. His parents were devastated. He said it was sort of, a family's worst nightmare that, one day your teenage girl is charged with murdering her best friend's mum. And he said the family effectively felt that every day for the rest of their lives.
In a sense, the film Heavenly Creatures kind of outed Juliet because, of course, reporters were looking for Juliet, who was now, of course, living under the new name of Anne Perry. When she was outed, how was that for Juliet Anne? I mean, was it actually a bit of a relief in the end? Finally,
yeah,
Jonathan, it had come?
Jonathan said she'd lived in fear of that the whole time after prison. She had had relationships and marriage proposals but hadn't been able to settle with anyone because she could never tell them the whole truth. And when that came out, he said it was horrible for his mother. It was horrible for him and his family, but it was a relief. You know, they weren't holding on to this secret anymore. They weren't scared of saying the wrong thing. And for Juliet herself, it was a terrible time for her, but she accepted it and she sort of fronted it and just got on with writing her books. And, you know, it was out there and it was done. She was relieved. It, you know, wasn't ideal. She couldn't control it and she did like to control things, but it was just that big secret they were all holding on was gone and they could all just sort of move forward in a way.
Anna, why is Jonathan adamant that she should have been found not guilty by reason of insanity?
Yeah, well, he's read a lot about the trial. He knows his sister and he just said it's never been something that she's recognised properly. She doesn't understand that what she did was hugely wrong. You know, he said she absolutely regrets it and regrets getting in trouble and causing people, you know, pain. But he doesn't think she ever really understood the gravity. She didn't really connect with Pauline's mum or that, you know, the brutality and what they did. And what he initially wanted was for someone in New Zealand in the legal system to look at this and say, hey, these were two girls that weren't well and that they were very clearly insane as per the defence experts. And he just wanted someone to look at that and say, hey, actually, we got it wrong. But as you do hear on the podcast, I've spoken to two legal experts that say, well, look, it was put before a jury, the decision was made, and there's not really a mechanism to go back and change these things in New Zealand. So it's very interesting what he wants to do. He wants to do it for his family, for her legacy, and just have that recognised that she was never 100% well. It's a really interesting talking to him about that.
And the lawyers you spoke to, did they feel that the girls got a fair trial?
Yeah, they do. By and large, they do feel they got a fair trial, but there were parts of the trial that were concerning. I spoke to Nigel Hampton, who's a King's Counsel. He's one of the, arguably, the best defence lawyer, most high-profile defence lawyer in the country. And he speaks about, you know, the way that the girls were interviewed, the way that it all sort of played out in court, the way that the judge basically directed the jury. He has some real concerns about how the trial was run, but, you know, at the end of the day, the jury had all the information and got to make that decision. And the other expert I've spoken to is the same. He said, you know, you put it before a jury, and even if the case was tried today, it could still have the same outcome. The jury get all that evidence, and they get to decide which evidence to listen to and, you know, sort of use to make their decision. So it's, you know, it was very clear that these girls were unwell, but whether they were legally insane or not, you know, that was up to the jury, and it was a very interesting decision, I guess.
Oh, no, thanks so much for your time this morning, Anna. Really appreciate it. It is a fascinating interview that Anna has done with Jonathan. If you want to hear more, that episode of A Moment in Crime is available now on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts from.
For more from the Sunday Session with Francesca Rutkin, listen live to News Talk ZB from 9 a.m. Sunday or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.